Legends, the greatest social casino experience has arrived at Legends.com. With thousands of the best free-to-play casino-style games, chances to earn millions of bonus coins and win real money. Legends is revolutionizing the Vegas experience wherever you are. If you love winning, then you'll love playing at Legends.com. Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Void where prohibited. Play responsibly. Visit Legends.com for more information. Legends with a Z.com is legendary fun.
This is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batchelor, and I welcome Alan Tonelson, our guru and leader on world trade, free trade, protectionism, all of the manufacturing success stories and otherwise, these last decades of prosperity. The Economist magazine, cited in a recent article at the Carnegie Endowment, has very unhappy things to say about the U.S. policy under the Biden administration, which surprisingly, given the politics, is an extension of the Trump administration with regard to trade. I read this salient quote. U.S. trade policy worked, quote, to tear down the subsidies hurting American exporters and gumming up global trade. That was once upon a time, for decades. Now, says The Economist, rather than trying to get other countries to cut subsidies, the Biden administration's unabashed focus is on building a subsidy architecture of its own, complete with the kinds of local content rules that American officials once railed against. Alan, a very good evening to you. The Economist is unhappy. It's based in London. It's fair enough. But are we a protectionist country now? Is that how we're regarded by our European friends? Good evening to you, Alan.
Hi, John, and hi, Gordon. And it certainly is how our European friends are claiming to regard us and certainly making a very big public relations stink over this, certainly one that's been great enough to convince The Economist that the U.S. economy and the American political leadership are taking the nation and indeed the entire world down the road to perdition. But we need a little context here, first of all. This is not exactly a new stance for that magazine because it was literally founded in the mid-19th century to convince Great Britain to adopt very doctrinaire free trade policies, which worked very well for Great Britain for quite some time. But we're not in the 19th century anymore, and the United States is not Great Britain. And what The Economist keeps on ignoring is that the United States approaches the world economy with enormous advantages that no other country or even region like the European Union enjoys. And that militates, again, if we're talking about U.S. interests rather than global interests, that militates for a much more what The Economist would call protectionist, what I would call economic nationalist U.S. foreign trade policy.
Gordon, you have a question for Alan.
Alan, the other factor is China, that the United States, the European Union, and the rest of the world tried to integrate China into a free trade system. And it sponsored China's accession to the World Trade Organization in December 2001. But while the rest of the world was playing by WTO and free trade rules, China was not. And so it got enormous advantages. And what we have seen, as Michael Pettis of Peking University has talked about, is essentially China gaming the system. And the United States is saying, and quite correctly, and very late to the game, the United States is saying, enough is enough. Your comment on that.
I think Michael Pettis is exactly right, because one of the huge changes in the world trading system over the last few decades, as you've just indicated, has been the entrance of China full blown with an entirely protectionist, entirely mercantile foreign economic policy that the free trade dogmatists ignore has harmed the global economy, not only the U.S. economy, but the global economy on net by introducing enormous imbalances that have severely distorted economic activity around the world, which is exactly what economic policymakers and citizens everywhere should want to avoid. And sadly, the only way to moderate and even bring down those very harmful economic imbalances, which, by the way, have really fueled the reality of an entire world strongly addicted to super low interest rates that also completely distort economic activity for reasons having very little to do with free trade or free markets. Moderating and bringing down these China-centric imbalances is central if we're going to see a future world that's based on much healthier, much more sustainable growth.
I want to make sure I understand this very careful argument you and Gordon and Mr. Pettis are advancing. Is this a way of referring to the dumping of steel at unusually low prices that was practiced by China in the early part of this century? Or the Chinese habit of subsidizing industries, giving them an advantage? I believe the solar panel industry was dominated by China. It might still be because it was subsidized. Is that what we're talking about, Alan?
John, it's all of the above. And an enormous irony that, again, is continually missed by the economist editorial writers and free trade dogmatists in this country, Europe, et cetera. And in fact, in Europe, which remains highly protectionist, it's an incredibly hypocritical stance. But what's entirely missed is that although these Chinese and other global mercantile practices can generate short-term consumer gains, they inflict very serious long-term damage on the global economy, in large part because they undercut economic efficiency everywhere. Industries whose prosperity and vibrancy is dependent on heavy state subsidies or on flagrant dumping are not efficient industries, and they shouldn't be dominating world markets if we care about putting the world economy and certainly the U.S. economy back on a much sounder footing.
Gordon, you have a question.
Alan, the World Trade Organization has not been effective in dealing with predatory Chinese trade policies, both those that are technically permitted and those that are not permitted under WTO rules, because China has been a trade criminal. What do you think is the future of the WTO?
It seems to me that in purely institutional and legal terms, it's hanging by a very thin thread. And more important, it looks very much like the United States, in an informal sense, has walked out, that the United States has made it very clear that it's not going to let adverse World Trade Organization rulings against its own economic nationalist practices, which are once again based on completely outmoded, rigid notions of free trade purism. The United States is not going to let these kinds of adverse decisions interfere with what elected U.S. leaders accountable to the American people believe is in the United States' best short-term and long-term interest.
The Chamber of Commerce. I don't know the answer to this, Alan, so help me. Is the Chamber of Commerce rooting for the economist's opinion of the world or Mr. Pettis' opinion of trade?
The Chamber of Commerce is ardently rooting for the economist viewpoint to prevail, and that's entirely because the so-called U.S. Chamber of Commerce has become the most important pillar of what I call the U.S. corporate offshoring lobby. And certainly, when it comes to big multinational corporations, U.S.-based multinational corporations that do business all around the world, this offshoring-centric policy has been very good for their own bottom lines because they can produce, or they've been able to produce in very low-cost countries and sell to very high-priced countries like the United States, which is a great formula for expanding profits. Unfortunately, the United States has to play in the global economy a role that's not only the world's biggest consumer. The United States has to be able to produce and to export something proportional to what it consumes. And this multinational, this offshoring lobby policy that's been pushed so successfully on so many pre-Trump presidents has been disastrous for, again, the American economy's long-term health, because it has hooked us on easy money and way too easy consumption.
Alan Tonelson, an independent economic policy analyst. He blogs at Reality Check, at Gordon G. Chang, Gatestone Newsweek and The Hill. I'm John Batchelor.
Your night in just got legendary. Get ready to chase the rush, spin, win, and redeem instantly straight to your bank account at legendswithaz.com. With free-to-play slots, blackjack, keno, roulette, and more, experience all the thrills of Vegas without leaving your couch. Legends has it all.
Legends is a free-to-play social casino. Okay. Void where prohibited. Must be 18 plus. Play responsibly. Visit legends.com for full details.
Get in the game now and score a 50% bonus on your first purchase only at legendswithaz.com.
Tired of spills and stains on your sofa? WashableSofas.com has your back. Featuring the Anabay Collection, the only designer sofa that's machine washable inside and out, where designer quality meets budget-friendly prices. That's right, sofas start at just $699. Enjoy a no-risk experience with pet-friendly, stain-resistant, and changeable slipcovers made with performance fabrics. Experience cloud-like comfort with high-resilience foam that's hypoallergenic and never needs fluffing. The sturdy steel frame ensures longevity, and the modular pieces can be rearranged anytime. Check out WashableSofas.com and get up to 60% off your Anabay sofa, backed by a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. If you're not absolutely in love, send it back for a full refund. No return shipping or restocking fees. Every penny back. Upgrade now at WashableSofas.com. Offers are subject to change and certain restrictions may apply.